Hello and welcome to Unlimited Realities. I am your host, Lisa Zimmer, and I'm absolutely thrilled to provide you with the expert wisdom from my guests today. First, we're going to be speaking with Dr. Sheila Collins, both a professor and an author, who has used both her social work and her ability to use play and dance in moving through some of the most devastating challenges a person, let alone a mother, must face in her life. And Warrior Mother is her latest work. Warrior Mother is the true story of a mother's fierce love and determination and her willingness to go outside the bounds of the ordinary. When two of her three adult children are diagnosed with life-threatening diseases, it documents how she faces these challenges and the issues that accompany them. Next, in the second half of our show, I have expert Lise Perlmutter, who is an integrative healing practitioner, and she's going to be teaching us what eidetic imagery is. And this is a very profound, deep imagery that's used by psychologists that help remove a lot of blocks and challenges that either we are conditioned into, we develop through our trauma and growth in our years, or even that are transferred to us from our parents, our loved ones. So we have a wonderful show to start 2014 off with. I'm so excited to have these dynamic women on today, and I know you will too. You'll get a lot out of it. Lise is also going to provide some incredible tools that you can use at home to help move yourself through some obstacles and challenges by taking some responsibilities and creating a great 2014. So without further ado, let me introduce our first guest today, Sheila Collins. Sheila is professor and author, and has been a dance, social worker, university clinic director, writer, and performance artist. She's written The Power of Play, Dance, and Expressive Arts in her book Still Point, The Dance of Self-Caring, Self-Healing, a Playbook for People Who Do Caring Work, and on her blog, Dancing with Everything, which is on her website, SheilaKCollins.com. Warrior Mother is the true story of a mother's fierce love and determination, overcoming incredible obstacles. As a mother of four, there is nothing that brings me to my knees and makes me more vulnerable than the well-being of my children. Anything that a bare mother love wants to do and dive in and help overcome for their children, this story will bring you to your knees. So without further ado, let me introduce Sheila Collins. And Sheila, I want to thank you, Sheila. Thank you so much for being my guest today on Unlimited Realities. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. It's really wonderful to be here.
Well, I thought your story is such a powerful one that it really needs to be told. And it's one of those stories that comes from such a soul level. So it's very raw. It's very from the gut. It's very whole. And I don't think I can even touch upon the emotion that you must have gone through because, like I said in the beginning, there's nothing that brings a mother to her knees more than the well-being of her children. So explain to us how Warrior Mother came about as you were moving through life being a mom and a woman.
Well, yes, I agree with you about that's where the title warrior came from, the notion of a warrior mother, because I think a lot of times we're asked to be very strong or stronger than we think we are, for sure, when we're dealing with our children. And the fierce love that we have for them is what carries us through, I think. So when I had all of the number of things that happened to me over a relatively brief period of time. And I decided that it was really important for me to write about it and share it. I was motivated to do that. And Lisa, it's been very gratifying to hear from people who have read the book and gotten it for their friends and that kind of thing. Because even though people may not have the exact circumstances that I was facing, I think that they find the sort of universal in it.
Right,
the universal of the mother and the dealing with adult children and dealing with illness.
Certainly, we can all relate to
that. Almost every family is going to have to do that.
Mm-hmm. Right. So how did it come about first? What was the first devastation? Was it your friend? Was it your daughter? Was it your son? What was the first, you know, gut punch?
Well, my my youngest son, who was in his 20s at the time, developed pneumonia, and we discovered that he had the kind of pneumonia that was the definition of AIDS at that time. It meant that his immune system had dropped to such a level that he was, getting that kind of pneumonia. So that was the first, tremor, I guess, and
mm-hmm.
And dealing with that in the family, and also I write about, in those days, there was a lot of shame about that disease. There was a lot
right.
of misinformation about it, and there
fear.
Wasn't very much that the medical profession had to offer us.
Oh, my goodness.
So,
the fears had to be overwhelming.
So being open to any kind of alternative medicine and exploration of what could make his life more comfortable, if not a cure, but, at least. So he lived with AIDS for 4 years, and for most of the time he worked, although
wow.
keeping a secret his situation, because he had been told not to reveal that information since people were so afraid of the disease at that time.
Right.
That was
you had to come to terms with so much on that level, because you're talking about a time that must have been, in the 1980s when it was just newly brought about. Is that true?
He was, he died in 97, so it would have been early 90s at that point. And and the other aspect of it is the aspect of his being gay, and
sure.
so that, of course, we've had a lot of healing, I think, as a culture around that issue, but
right.
that was also layered into what we were dealing with as a family and what he was dealing with. At the same time, then, my best friend had breast cancer and asked me to come and be with her in her last days of life. So
wow.
She knew that my son, of course, was in that situation of a risk, and it was just an incredible experience. So I write about that because it was such a lesson for me in that whole sacred time of being with someone in their last days, as it turned out, with her 14 days, but we didn't know very much about the process.
Well, as you look back and you step back at the process of grief, and you step back and you look at the process of fears and anxieties, and oftentimes it's a thread that is a period of time we go through a really difficult time. But when you step back and you look at that period of time, look at the blessing and the synchronicity of God working there, bringing your friend at the grace to you to teach you how to work through grieving and giving you that respite, that peace a little bit that you have it with a friend before you have to, really face it with anyone in a family way. This is something that you go through as an evolution. I mean, there's grace in this and there's beauty in this peace that God offers us. I mean, when you can step back and look at how it's laid out for us, I find that really divine. That's really an incredible
Absolutely.
Gift that she gave you.
Absolutely, Lisa. And what you're saying is really part of the explanation for why I would choose to go back into those times. Some people did think, why would you, almost like picking at a wound or something, why would you want
Right.
to go back and relive some of that? But as it turns out, there were many, many gifts in there. And if you're not going to remember, if you're going to just put aside the whole experience, you lose the valuable lessons as much and the gifts as much as you lose the pain. So,
exactly.
So I definitely wanted, and I felt that so many gifts were given to me that I wanted to share that with other people so that there is hope through difficult times, and there are gifts in the transition times of our lives.
Right, right. And because, you know, human nature, when times are tough, it's very hard to see that silver lining. We may know it. We may have the right words, the verbiage, the right tools. But sometimes we need to be nudged. And sometimes we need to know that someone got through that tunnel. And this is a powerful story because, you know, dealing with one child and a devastating illness is harsh enough. But then you went on to tell about your daughter's diagnosis with breast cancer. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yes, 5 years after Ken died, our oldest daughter, who was the mother of three young children at the time, was diagnosed with breast cancer. And my friend Rose, of course, had died of breast cancer. Also, my daughter's mother-in-law had died of breast cancer. So when you hear that those words even, it's just like a wound immediately.
Sure.
And I've said this, maybe I thought, since I already lost a child, I'm somehow immune to this, you know, like an inoculation in the doctor's office or something.
Kind of numb, right?
Kind of. But you know, we don't. That's not the way it works either. So
right.
So we did have an incredible challenge with our daughter, and the fact that traditional methods of treatment, the usual methods of treatment, did not work for her in her case. So she did very heroic things to try to stay alive, to get more years of life. And so that's something I remembered as I was experiencing my own loss, you know, afterwards, that I didn't want to dishonor my children.
Right.
By moping around and feeling sorry for myself. I wanted to do something that would be helpful to other people.
Very noble.
And to be able to appreciate what the gifts really were in that situation. You know, I sometimes say that I had more time with these children, these two adult children, than I probably would have had if they had been healthy and on with their lives. You know, our children, we want them to be, you know, independent and on with their lives. And so the kind of intimacy that I had with both of my children and with my best friend was something that came from the circumstances of that were, you know, difficult.
Well, it takes you to the absolute raw of your emotion. I mean, there is nothing that I can imagine would bring you to a more vulnerable level in a human spirit soul, because as a mother, you live for them to be happy and to be whole and to be healthy. And when they suffer, you suffer. And I cannot imagine the evolution you had to face to go through what you went through and to come out the other end. It's truly a remarkable story.
Thank you, Lisa. And I think another
welcome.
Thing that I want to say about that is that my children became my teachers. I always think our children are our teachers anyway, but in these circumstances, they definitely were my teachers. And I would use the example of when my daughter submitted herself for a bone marrow transplant, which was very highly experimental. She was going to be in the hospital for 2 weeks and not really sick, but just having to stay there and, you know, not run around town or anything. And she thought, what am I going to do? She's kind of a doer like I am, so what am I going to do with myself? She gets this idea that she doesn't want to just focus on herself and worry about herself, but she asks people to send her their pictures and their prayers, and she will put this on the wall of the hospital room, and she will pray for them. She would pray for the people who were praying for her. You know,
isn't that a beautiful exchange of energy?
It was so remarkable to think about. And then, of course, later I read something in the Buddhist tradition that talks about generosity as being the antidote to fear. And in a way, if you just think about your own worries, you know, but here she was praying for these people, some of whom she knew and some of whom she didn't know, who had sent her their pictures. So
that's an incredible.
So that was quite a lesson for me as well.
Well, and you know, it's quite a lesson for the audience to hear, for the people who prayed for her and know that, because that is that paying it forward, and that's the exchange of energy, and really that's what we're here about. We're here to, you know, give of ourselves in love, and what generosity that soul has, what generosity your daughter gave. I mean, that's just perfect divinity in action. You know, I imagine as a mother, you hold such pride in your heart, and that this book really represents such an emotional connection to those children, and that they speak to you through both your emotions and words, because even though they're physical bodies here, we know they live on, and they know there's nothing more strong than a mother and a child's bond. So for you to offer this heartfelt soul telling, it's a great gift, Sheila, and I thank you from the bottom of my heart for what you've created here for the audience. And can we talk a little bit about what you did, because you did a few things that were out of the box, and I like out of the box thinkers, Sheila. So you went to Brazil. You
yes.
went to Brazil on your daughter's behalf. Can you talk to us a little bit about that experience and what brought you to Brazil and what you did there?
Well, yes. It was actually a friend of mine, and I want to say that part of my honoring part of my writing the book is honoring my children, but I think also it's honoring so many of the people who held me up. I mean, that my
right.
women's group that I was connected to. So I got a call from one of my friends, and she'd had a dream, and she said, get online and look up John of God. She had this dream that my daughter and I would go to John of God, and this is a healer in Brazil, and
mm-hmm.
There was quite a bit of information about him online. And then, anyway, it was one of those things where I had only a short window that I could do this. My daughter was not able to go because of treatments that she was having to prepare her for the bone marrow transplant. So the physician that I connected with, who was also a Western physician who was studying with John of God, suggested to me that since I was her blood relative, with her permission, I could go on her behalf. And so I got her permission, and I went on her behalf. And as, like you said, the God thing, I mean, there was just a short window, and I got online to see how I would do that, and there was a guide, a woman who had a very similar background to me. She had been a dancer. She had worked on an Indian reservation. I mean, we had so many things in common, and she just happened to be taking a group that particular time that I could go. So everything just opened up for me to be able to go to be with John of God. And I have to say, with not much understanding of what good it was going to do, I didn't know. I was totally in what my friend said, radical trust.
Right.
Crazy idea, you know.
Right.
And I think I try to understand it, well, from a distance now, what I understand is that I did receive some peace, and the peace that passes understanding that we hear people talk about, I did
right.
receive that, and I could go back to that place by just kind of putting myself in my, you know, meditation back to that place. And so I was my daughter's caregiver. And
okay.
she did not need me to be Miss Nervous, you know,
right.
all
right.
you know, worried. You know, then it becomes you have to take care of your mother, and that's you don't need that. You know, she was already having trouble, you know, having her own challenges. So what happened then was that I would be able to come from that place of the peace that I had gotten in Brazil, and I could transmit that to her, and in the room, I could feel the difference. It was just magical, really.
And
so,
and did you feel, did you see, were you in a spiritual seeking place when you went there, or was that kind of a an opening or a bit of a expanding for yourself when
well,
you went
my
there?
Daughter's my daughter's religious tradition, she was very much she was a Christian, but she had a very strong personal relationship with Jesus, and
mm-hmm.
so she and going to the casa, I saw, it, you know, it was following that, her tradition, and the notion of having, well, what I said to her was, what I know about the Bible says that Jesus healed, but he would say, Jesus in the story would say, go, your faith has healed you. And,
right.
And so I said, you know, I know that miracles are possible. I know that. And we're really saying we want one. So what I said to her was, you're one of the people I think would be a likely candidate because you have such strong faith. So
right.
So that's kind of the attitude I had to this. And I can say that although my daughter was not cured of breast cancer, to watch her growth was uh-huh. incredible.
And so do you think that going to Brazil helped her transition and her evolution in those final moments?
Well, I don't know if it was that, my going to Brazil, or what I brought back to her was a piece of it, but, you know, because she had, the other thing that I got so strongly from this whole experience was the power of community and the people that were holding us up. I mean, the people that she prayed for on her hospital wall, there were many, many people that even didn't make the wall. But so I do think that I think that God works through through the community, and I got that sort of sense when at one point I walked a labyrinth. I talk about rituals and how they help us, and I walked a labyrinth, and when I go into the center of the labyrinth, which of course is an ancient practice, and I just gave my daughter into the hands of God. When I walked back, you unwind and come, and as I stepped back out, this voice said to me, "We are the hands of God."
Oh.
And that's with me always.
Right.
That is with me always.
Oh, that's incredible. That's an incredible story, Sheila. And see, these are the stories, firsthand experience that people need to hear to sometimes renew faith at times of struggle, or, you know, a word of encouragement that keeps someone moving on in a positive, proactive direction. I mean, these are, there's reasons why things happen to all of us, and what we do with them can be so powerful, and what you have done with your pain and turned it into such a blessing, I commend you, and I really, really hold you up, because this is, as a mother, I feel your heart, and this is an incredible story and an incredible lesson and something that people do need to hear. And I thank you,
well,
Sheila.
Thank you so much, Lisa.
You
thank
are
you
so,
so much
welcome.
For the opportunity to talk with you about this and to talk with your listeners.
Well, I thank you, and I thank you for coming on. And I want to direct the audience to your website at SheilaKCollins.com, SheilaKCollins.com. SheilaKCollins.com. Sheila, thank you again so much for being my guest on Unlimited Realities. God bless you, and have a sacred 2014.
The same to you and your listeners, Lisa. Thank you.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Wow, what a powerful story. I really was excited to provide that to you guys, because I know as a mom, I have them from teenage all the way to adult years. You never know what happens in life, and to know someone's struggle who came out the other end can be so powerful. I'm going to turn the next half of the show over to one of my absolute favorite people in the world. We're going to be listening to Lise Perlmutter, who is an integrative healing practitioner. She's an expert in eidetic imagery. Eidetic imagery is image psychology. It's used by experts in the field of psychology to really help the individual move through blocks and obstacles that either they've accumulated through trauma or have been imprinted upon them through conditioning or even through role models like parents. So I cannot tell you how incredible this work is. Lise Perlmutter has done this on me personally, so I have worked with her on this, and it is very powerful work, truly, truly powerful. We're going to talk to Lise about what is eidetic imagery. She's going to talk to us about that. She's going to talk to us about how energy sticks to our luminous energy field and how we can really work through that. And she's also going to talk about her energy intensives that she conducts in Naples, Florida, and what that entails and how you, too, can make an appointment with Lise and have this done. I highly recommend it. So without further ado, let me bring on Lise Perlmutter, integrative healing practitioner, expert in eidetic imagery. Lise Perlmutter, thank you so much for being my guest today on Unlimited Realities. Welcome, welcome.
Thank you, Lisa. This is great to be on your show. Thank you so much for inviting me. So I was just listening to Sheila's story and thinking how much when we go through these very challenging experiences in our life, how the gifts, how important it is to be able to try to extrapolate the gifts. And really my whole journey of where I've come to now started 24, 25 years ago when I had a very serious illness and almost died. And it was really at that time that I began to ask myself the question, really, was there the stories that lived inside of me that the way I saw my world, did that have any influence on my current reality? And instead of pointing fingers at the doctors and everything that happened, I really went inside and started looking at those stories that lived inside of me. And we now know, neuroscientists, the beautiful thing is we have the science now, and we know that 5% of our brain activity is conscious, which means that the other 95% is coming from the subconscious mind.
Wow.
Which is huge.
That's huge.
Just to take that in. It's like the tip of an iceberg is the 5%. And the other part that is under the water, that 95%.
So how many of us are snorkeling, huh? I mean, goodness,
yeah.
That's a lot.
Yeah. And that is those programs, those memorized set of behaviors and emotions that have become habitual and automatic over time, where we're not even aware of what is happening, that all of a sudden we react a certain way, and it's from an early life engram, an imprint that is just popping up, and we're reacting a certain way. But what is so exciting is that we know that these automated programs that are informing our current reality from moment to moment can be changed, that we can go in and see where those are and source those and change them. So those programs are really coming. They're carried down genetically from our ancestors. BBC just had a report on that how that is literally carried down, that we manifest certain symptoms from our ancestors. Also our family, particularly our parents, have a huge impact on how we see the world, because the first 7 years of our life, we're really like sponges. We have no way of being able to discern what we want to bring in and not. And all that we see is just put into our brain, and it's there, and we're not even aware of the fact that we're being programmed, basically.
Right.
And
right.
Our culture, yeah, go ahead.
No, I find that this is, you know, the 7 years is a powerful age group because at that, those 7 years are really powerful. And it's the emotional piece. I mean, what I loved about your work is how it really opened up that emotional piece and how that emotion is really attached to the image. Go ahead.
Correct. And that is the key piece that we really have to be able to do is go into the emotion. And whether we're working eidetically, which I will explain in a few minutes, or working with the luminous energy field, which is the field that surrounds our physical body and that carries all the information. It's like a blueprint of our psyche. It holds all that information in our energy field, which comes into our physical body through the chakras and informs it, the physical body, the brain. And
wonderful.
So when we can go in and clear those imprints, the way that we do that is we really want to be able to go into the image, but we want to see the emotion because that's what brings up that imprint. It's the emotion that is the access point. So you are so correct in realizing how important that is to look at the emotion. What is so exciting now is that we know with science that the practice of neuroplasticity is the ability of the brain to be able to rewire itself, that we can lay down new neural pathways and make new, have new thoughts, have new emotions. And just
that's
like a muscle, when we focus on and we work that new muscle, it becomes a dominant muscle and the other one atrophies. So this is what is so exciting. If we can go and find out what these underlying imprints are that are in the subconscious and bring them up to awareness, then we have the ability to be able to shift them and change them. So one of those ways of doing it is through what I call eidetic imagery, and it was developed by a man by the name of Dr. Oktar Ossin. And as you said, it is really this model of what we call the ISM, but it's the image, because connected to every image is a state, an emotional state. And if we can connect in with that, then we can see there's this understanding or this meaning that comes up. And as we see that, it gives us insight and we can start shifting things.
Wonderful.
Yeah.
Now, is it a session? Is it something that you would make a series of sessions? Do you feel like the average person gets a little bit of the clue of something shifting in the first session? Because I personally, I know I went through a lot of shift in my session. So what? How does it usually run with a person in regard to, yeah?
Okay, so there's a couple of things that we can do here. When my practice, I actually use the eidetic work and I do energy work, shamanic work, and bring them together. So I will use the eidetic work to be able to pinpoint really the main piece that's really up for that person, that place of trauma, or what is the main pattern. Because when we look at it from an energetic standpoint, it's a pattern of energy that keeps on popping up. And
right.
So we want to see what that energy is, what that emotion is, so that we can clear it from our luminous energy field. When we clear that, so we look at that issue that's up, and then we want to clear that from the field. And by the time we finish doing that, there's another image underneath that is the healing image that will emerge. So for people, if they're looking to do this, to look a little bit, they can go to my website, which is leesperlmutter.com, or to eideticimagepsychology.com, and there are a couple questions from an eidetic standpoint of asking so that they have some information as to how they are holding their world. You know what
Wonderful.
I'm thinking, Lisa? Maybe we could just give them a little experience of how to see, like how an image affects a negative image and a positive image, so they can
Great.
See how that emotion is affecting their physiology.
Okay.
So if we
and
can,
am I the guinea
does
pig?
That work?
That works
you get
great.
The guinea
That's
pig.
Perfect.
All right.
I'm revealing. I have nothing to hide. I have my bones. Bring it on.
We all have to bring all those things up, right, so we can look at them and then
That's right.
change it all.
That's right.
So what you want to do when you're looking at this image is just to see it like a movie, and just like a movie screen, just to let it come up and not start to try to figure it out, not to go into your cognitive brain, but just to see an image before you. So I'm going to ask you right now just to see a person or a situation that you're having a difficult time with. You know, it could be a child just in this moment. It could be a friend. It could be a business situation.
Okay, I got it.
And okay, so whatever that is, I just want you to close your eyes, and as you see that person or that situation that you're having a difficult time with, I want you to see how that is impacting you. So pay attention in that moment right now to how you're breathing.
Mm-hmm.
How is your breath? Just to notice that as you
okay.
see the situation in front of you.
Do you want me to reveal how my breath is? Because I got it. It's shallow.
Right. Beautiful. And just to notice your heart rate, too. How is your heart beating as you look
it's
at that?
It's kind of a little jittery. It's not as, uh-huh. like, mellow as it usually is and kind of, you know, in rhythm, kind of calm. It's kind.
Exactly.
It's not really neurotic, you know, not like, but it's got this little thump, you know, kind of a, you know, not my normal beat, I should say. Because I am
right.
concerned about somebody. As I'm tuning in, the vibration is definitely tapped into that person. So my body changes are definitely in sync here with that.
Right. And so you notice that you feel and how that is actually impacting you and how you're feeling. And maybe even there's some tightness in your body that, you know, normally, as you said, you'd be more relaxed.
Right.
So just to notice that image, and then if you just kind of let go of that completely and to experience a positive image, just to see yourself in a favorite spot in nature.
Okay.
Wherever, you know, everybody has a place. It might be by the beach for you, you know, maybe deep in the forest or by a lake or a stream. But just to go there in your mind's eye, and as you're at this place in nature, again, to notice your breath.
Isn't that amazing?
Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Yeah, it really is.
Yeah. And your body, and just notice how you're holding your body. And your heart, how is your heart beating?
It, you know, it's back to where I would expect it to be, but I didn't recognize the transition coming from the other heartbeat to this heartbeat. So
uh-huh.
somehow it transited, and I didn't recognize that transit.
Because you went so deeply into the image that it happens that quickly.
That's
so
right.
So the reason I like to bring something like this up is for people to realize how much our lives, our moment-to-moment experiences, are impacting our physiology.
Right.
And our well-being. And so when
and
we
simply
have that
in breath, you know,
yes.
breath immediately changes. It's amazing to me
Correct.
How the breath gets like, you know, you go like that. You automatically, subconsciously just, you know, gasp and it becomes shallow when you're uptight. It's a very incredible mind-body connection. It truly is. Wonderful, wonderful experience.
And so then if you were even to take that second image where you were in nature and you had, you know, if we took more time and you really dropped into that and felt the emotions and really all of that, and then from that place, which is under our personal history, that place of nature, of mythology, of those places where we're deeply connected, to take a place like that and go back into that situation that was challenging with that person or that issue that was up from you, it would be able to, from that place, if you go in there, is there any insights or is there anything that you see in a different way than you did when you went into the negative image?
So without revealing incredible detail, I'm going to give you an overall of where my head was at with it. So I was concerned about one of my kids and a situation that he had to confront and take responsibility and address today. And so I had, you know, concerns about, you know, how this was all going to play out, of course, as a mom. And I was in my human state. And so when I went in there, I visualized him. And he's a very capable, articulate, from the heart soul. He really is. So I had faith in his abilities. But for some reason, I was more attached to the anxiety of the outcome when I was evaluating it from a third-person seat when you had me look at the whole image. And I recognized how my anxiety was not really giving him enough credit. So I kind of detached, and in going back to my little nature spot, which if you know me, I kayak out into the river, and that's my little nature spot. So I went to my little kayak nature spot, and I immediately, my breath went to this deep, solid, low rhythm. So I took that breath and that feeling of groundedness, and I went back into looking at my son. And I gave him that power. I gave him that sense of groundedness, that strength. And with that, I also recognized and affirmed that I had faith in his ability to resolve this to the best of his ability. So that kind of helped me to detach a little bit. And this was really an incredible, timely experiment for me. Thank you.
Perfect. So isn't it, I know, this is why I love doing this work. I mean, it's come from this place of that we have the ability to be able to shift these eyes, these images, to shift the way that we hold and see the world. That, and it's so wonderful for even for the people that are listening, just having the tool when they're in a situation that is challenging to just take a couple of moments and drop into their breath, and to go into a place, wherever that is for them in nature, and be there for two or three minutes where they really have dropped into that, and then go back into that situation that's challenging, and to see it from a different perspective, where there's not all that personal stuff and our story so much connected to it.
Right. And because emotions really cloud it. I mean, it really clouds that peace. Necessary, but clouding.
You
know, now, talk to us a little bit how you integrate both the eidetic imagery into the luminous field, because that is that's the piece that the work was really profound. But the energetic piece that you're left with when you're done with a session with Lee's audience is incredible. So let's talk about that piece, too.
Well, that piece to me, I mean, even gives me chills because I feel like I just open sacred space and I'm a conduit and the energy moves through me and I always feel so honored at the end of a session to have the opportunity to be able to work that way. And I don't take any credit for that except that I've been taught the tools. My training was from the Four Winds Society, the Healing the Light Body School. And all these tools really came from the Quechua, from the indigenous peoples of South America that they have used for thousands of years. And really, the premise is that instead of going in, like in psychology where we're talking about things and working with the mind and trying to change things, is that we're really working on an energetic level in that everything, every experience through this lifetime, from past lifetimes, everything is held in our energetic body. And so if we can find out what that imprint is, and I can do that through eidetic imagery, because there's a very specific format for being able to pull up early life traumas wherever there is glitches. And then we take that emotion of that, and we clear it from our luminous energy field. And then we illuminate our chakra, whichever one was affected where that came through, with different energy, pure energy, and so that imprint is no longer there. And it is so amazing to me how quickly and effectively that shifts these ways that we hold our story of how we hold the world. So when we do these intensives, these week-long intensives, we have one coming up next week, we have people come in and they spend 5 days with us. And they do the medical piece at our office and see a physician, see a dietitian. But we do the energy piece of really how are they holding their world and where are those obstacles, where are those places where they're caught. And by the end of the week, by doing this process of illumination and several other processes, we are able to shift and clear out those limiting beliefs of how they've held their world and change it. So from the shamanic standpoint, the outer world is only a reflection of our internal world. So when we shift our internal world, when we shift the way we hold that internal world, we shift our whole reality. And it's pretty exciting to see the changes.
Right, because you're not a prisoner to the past, and you're able really, you know, transform the future for yourself. I mean, it's an incredibly powerful tool. Yes, yes.
Yeah.
And,
you are really
and how you feel.
You're shedding those pieces of your past, those limiting beliefs that really, you know, that you're not even so much responsible. You're born into a family that has history. And so we know that we now have the ability to be able to look at that, to bring it up for resolution, those places where we're caught, so that we can shift it through the eidetic process and through the illumination process, that underneath all that, there is this biological potential of what we could be or can be when we eliminate these limiting beliefs of how we've held ourselves in the world, because something happened when we were 5 or 6 years old that we interpreted it in a certain way, or a trauma that is still with us in our limbic brain to this day. So we want to be able to shift that.
And
that's what we do.
You know, I think that also this would be incredible, powerful work for post-traumatic stress disorder, those suffering from you know, even veterans and people who are suffering from trauma that, you know, their lives created for them. This is an incredible intensive work, and I highly, highly recommend it. And the group of people that Lise works with are some of the best in the world. So you are in incredible hands, and I don't know if we should name drop who your incredible other half is, but you have
yes, go ahead.
Go ahead, please.
I was thinking as Sheila was speaking earlier and about how we have these challenging moments. And my husband is David Perlmutter. He has a New York Times number one bestseller out right now,
Grain.
And and also a PBS special called Brain Changer. But what is so interesting is his background is neurology. He is a neurologist and a nutritionist. And he, when I was so ill and almost died, it was at that point that he really changed his trajectory as far as his life work, because conventional medicine wasn't finding the answers for me. And it was then that we really began to look at alternative therapies, and that really pushed him into a different area. And so I see now down the line how what a wonderful gift it's been, because he's been able to help so many people, empower them through the foods that they eat, that food is information. And it's so powerful. And I think for myself at that moment, I really looked at how our life stories, that if we can look at those, we can change them, that we have the power to change our destiny. And that's huge.
That is huge. And the sooner the better.
Yeah.
You know, it's not impossible. I mean, it's incredible how you will feel shifting happen and occur during these intensives. And I completely endorse these as something that was very therapeutic and helpful to me through a very transitional time of my life. Now, Lise, as we're finishing up, let's bring the audience to your website and how they can get in touch with you.
My website is Lise Perlmutter, so it's L-E-I-Z-E, and the last name is Perlmutter, P-E-R-L-M-U-T-T-E-R.com, and you can access me there. I also want to just mention one thing as far as looking at these imprints, too. There is, in the eidetic parents test, which we didn't have time to get into today, there's a series of 30 questions, and some of those questions are available. If you go to my website, you can link to eidetic image psychology, and there's some of those questions that are up there. I'm also going to get them up on my website that allow you to start looking and seeing how you are informed by your history and then to start shifting it.
And we have a few minutes, so let's touch upon that just a little bit, because, you know, there's a lot of that parental blame that we hear. You know, I'm this way because, you know, my mom didn't love me enough, or I'm this way because my father abused me. Now, are those pains, because some of these scars are pretty deep, are they able to be transformed
or changed?
Yeah. Exactly. Transformed. I was going to use transformed,
what?
And then I thought, is it a transformation? Because do we want to transform them, or do we want to resolve them? Because is the pain sometimes are so deep. I mean, sometimes people have made 20, 30-year decisions based on these things, and they're just,
right,
like, thick, you know?
Exactly. So I really went into all of this and, as I said, started doing, it really came from me doing my own work of really becoming curious of how certain things are happening in my life because of my early life experiences. And so the eidetic parents test, and eidetic is spelled E-I-D-E-T-I-C, is a series of 30 questions, and it really reveals the developmental structures of the mind. It's a map of the psyche. And it uses the parental images or the people that were most influential in your early childhood, whoever those would be, as filters. And it allows you right away to see where these places are, how you're holding things. When you go into the image, as we talked about, there will be an emotion connected with that. And when we stay with that long enough, it starts going down deeper, and there's a meaning and understanding that comes out of it, and it begins to shift so that we can see we have information, and it comes into a healing image. I don't know if I have time just to share with you a story of a young boy I worked with
sure,
this
go
identity
ahead.
Work. And not even with the illumination, many, many years ago, he was having arrhythmia. He was pre-adolescent, and I took him down, and he had an EKG, and the cardiologist said there was nothing he could do with him at the time because he was so young. So I decided to work with him eidetically, and through the series of these 30 questions, one of them pertained to the heart. And so when I asked Julian to see, to visualize his parents standing directly in front of him and to imagine that there was a window in each of their chests, like carved out so you could see directly into their hearts and see their hearts beating, I asked him, first of all, to see his father's heart beating. And when he looked at it, I was sitting right with him. His whole body, his hands got clammy. He had so much anxiety in his body. It was amazing as soon as he looked at that. And then I asked him to look at his mother's heart, and he looked at me, and he was so upset. He said, I can't see her heart. It's missing.
Oh.
And I told him to continue to just look at the image, not to get upset, just to keep on looking. And this is the piece, to keep on looking. And as he continued to do that, after some time, all of a sudden, his mother's heart started to come forward. It was way, way in the back, and it started coming forward. And then this dove emerged out of her heart. And at that time, his anxiety went away, his arrhythmia went away, and that was probably 25 years ago when I first started working with this. He
wow.
went on to get a degree in toxicology, and he's now a veterinarian. And I keep in touch with him. He still is completely fine, no more anxiety, no more arrhythmia. So this is how powerful this work can be, that these symptoms, when there's trauma, there's fragmentation. Things get fragmented. But if we can bring it back together and we can bring the image, the somatic response, which is the emotional component, together, then there's a meaning or an understanding that comes forward, and there's healing.
That's incredible.
So that's a great story. I love
that
story.
Incredible. You imagine all the anti-anxiety drugs that can be eliminated by having
correct.
Some... You know, I mean, that's incredible. That's an incredible story, and I could feel it as you were telling it. You can just feel that child going into, you know, realms that he'd never explored before. You know, it's not
yeah.
common for someone to really visualize the emotional heart of their parent, but what a powerful concept that is. I mean, just that thought. You know, gosh.
Yeah.
You know?
And so depending on what the physical ailment is that is, you know, presenting, we have the ability to be able to go in through this specific, what we call eidetic parents test, and be able to target those areas and then bring them up for resolution so we can shift them. And in so doing, it affects the way, you know, our physiology and also how we're interacting in the world. It changed his destiny.
Right. Right,
so,
his confidence level
yeah.
and everything. That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
thank you so much, Lise Perlmutter, for being my guest on Unlimited Realities today. It has been a true joy. I have loved talking to you. You helped me personally today with my own element of concern. And I want to thank the audience for tuning in and listening to Unlimited Realities with my guest, Lise Perlmutter and Sheila Collins today. And again, to contact Lise, her website is Lise Perlmutter, LEIZEPERLMUTTER.com. Lise, thank you so much for being my guest. God bless all of you till we talk again next week. Have a blessed and sacred week ahead of you. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.